Welcome again this morning. You may be seated. Welcome to you all here. And a welcome to those people in the little tent. Can I hear a shout bunch? Let's hear that again. Can I hear a shout from the people in the little tent? Oh my goodness. Now I think there's the people over in the office, isn't there? Lounge? Can I hear the people from the lounge? Well, they've got the advantage in the little tent. So like half an hour, they'll all start shouting. The problem about the lounge is that they've got walls, and so you can't hear them. They're in there. They're alive. And also those people in the different groups around the city, can I hear a shout? Well, it's a bit too far, but I'm sure they are shouting. But anyway, it's great to have everybody, and welcome you all. Those who are online, and some people even from different nations. And great to see everybody. It's been a while. People have been on holiday, but it's good to see people. And it's great to flow with my wife, Paulette Collins, who is, it reminds of time. Anyway, it's time for a giving. You ready to give? Now, you don't sound so sure. Excitement level has gone down. The atmosphere. So there are different ways to give. Of course, you know that online, other things too. But let's pray before we take up the giving. Father, we thank you an opportunity to give to an awesome God. I mean, who better to give than to God? And, you know, these are difficult times financially, et cetera, and people here and different places are giving out of sacrifice. They're giving out of faith. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would top up their finances, that you would supply every need as they give this morning. But not only just supply it, that you would bless them abundantly, even in this hour where it could be the opposite. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said yes. Okie dokie. You're right over there, Speedy. He's kind of... You know, there's those who are online, there's two sections here. There's one where all the people are, and there's one person over this side. But that's okay. He looks happy. Anyway, I've been looking forward to preaching this morning because I believe God is going to speak to people. Does that sound good? And the title of my message is Keep On. Keep on. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, it's because I preached it last year, sometime in October. It was an evening service. It was recorded. So if you want to go back, you can listen to it there. And I had 7 points, 7 things that we need to keep on doing in this season. And so I want to continue that message. Not the last 2 years have been difficult years. Not everybody, but many people it has been. And this year looks to be a difficult time. And I don't have to go into detail about that and what that all means. You know what I'm talking about. Unless you've been hiding on a rock, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want to give you this morning 3 things that we need to keep on doing to flourish in this season, to do well in the season, because we can. We don't have to succumb to everything in the midst, and that's going to be my message this morning. In the midst of the difficulties and the challenges, we can break through, we can overcome, we can triumph, and we can see many great things, and God can do many great things. You don't think God's hands are tied by what's happening now? This is just like, he's like, I've done this before. Yeah. I want to encourage you this morning to keep focusing. Keep focusing. This is not a focus is not just a motivational TED talk, because you might think that. Focus is actually a real concept throughout the Bible. And so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 6. Verse 3, it's a little scripture, but I think it's good to see it. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. When you arrive there, say, I'm there. Yes, say, yeah. What's there? Okay. I was waiting for people. Some people still like to open their Bible, you know, smell the old pages. So just a couple of verses before this, Nehemiah's enemies wanted to talk with him. They wanted to have a discussion. And this is what Nehemiah said in chapter 6, verse 3. He said, "So I sent messages to them." So look, he didn't even have time to actually talk to them. He just said, "Look, you go talk to these guys." And he said, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down." Say this after me. I am doing a great work. You don't sound like it's really that great. Come on, try it again. I'm doing a great work. Yeah. And I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Bit of an attitude there. So Nehemiah, God called Nehemiah and Israel to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the wall circumference was about 4 kilometers in distance. Get in your car today and check out 4 kilometers. It's quite a long, long span of time, of space. And they were so focused that they even worked during the night. There are a number of reasons why they were so successful in rebuilding the walls. But one of them was that they were focused. And we see this by Nehemiah's words, "I am doing a great work, I cannot come down." Let me say a few things about focus. First, focus is a key to success. Now, success, folks, is, you know, it's not perfection. It's not without failure. It's not like the world, which is a more an outward thing rather than inward, and God is inward. But, you know, business people who are successful are focused. Parents who are successful, they are successful because they are focused. Athletes are successful because they are focused. You know, as a teenager, many decades ago, I played tennis. And so now I'm back into tennis now, and I've joined the Hawesville Club there and have an absolute ball. I play 5 to 6 hours of tennis a day, and I'm exercising. I don't even know. I'm having fun. What's that? Did I say a day? What am I up to? What about my job? No, a week. A week. Let's get carried away. But, you know, I've been watching the professional players and how they play tennis. And I noticed they are successful because they are very focused. In fact, I got a picture of a tennis player here. That's when tennis players play, that little yellow tennis ball is just everything they're watching. Now, some of you might say, well, that's just a waste of time, just focusing on a little yellow tennis ball. But if they maneuver that tennis ball, rightly so, then they will end up earning a lot of money. And so it's a key to focus. Focus is a key to success. Let me say this. It's important to focus on a few things. This year, I'm rewriting a book called Managing Life. And one of the things I teach is a lot of people are overcommitted. They've got too much on their plate. Their plate's full, but it's overflowing. It's better to have our plates like 80% full, perhaps. And it is better to focus on a few things and do them well than a whole bunch of things and do them with mediocrity. And there's some people here today, and perhaps people watching online, that you need to prune the vine, I feel. You need to cut some dead branches. You need to remove some things that you're not meant to be focusing on. The last thing I want to say here is this year we need to guard against distractions. Things that take us away from our main focus. Because There's a lot of distractions at the moment, isn't there? I don't need to go into detail. You all know what I'm talking about. A lot of distractions. And so this year, when someone or something seeks to distract us, let your response be, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Let your motto be this year, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Number two, the second thing we need to keep on doing is, sorry, I got a frog in my throat. Ribbit. Ribbit. Come out. Is keep on learning. This is a great environment to learn. Because we're going through things we haven't been through before. We're experiencing things we haven't before. There are things happening to our hearts and minds that haven't happened before. And so let's look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Numbers 12, verse 3. And this is talking about Moses' description. It says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men on the face of the earth. Imagine that. This guy Moses, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. I think some of us wouldn't do too well with that. Imagine being the most humble person on the face of the earth now, 7 billion people. It wouldn't take too long. We would lose that thing because we'd get so proud that we're humble. I mean, I probably would. Anyway, Moses, he was judging the people, the Bible says, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, and then everybody was getting worn out. And so Moses' father-in-law calls Moses over and says, come here, son, I want to give you to help you lead these people and judge them. Get some leaders to help you, and you take the bigger cases. And so Moses took on that advice. And where he was struggling and failing in an area, he ended up succeeding. So we're going to come back to the story of Moses at the end of this point. But let me say this. You know, we can learn from a lot of things. We can learn from God, of course. We can learn from the Bible. We can learn from mentors. We can learn from our experiences. We can learn from our failures. We can learn from our successes. We can learn from books. At the moment, I have a book that's on my every time I have a book on my coffee table, and it sits there, and I just kind of every now and again pick it up and keep working through it. And so you'll notice that many of those things I mentioned involve people. And people are one of the greatest ways in which we can learn. Did you know that? We may not like it, but it's true. You know, we can learn from everyone. Someone said in my walk, every man I meet is my superior in some way. Isn't that true? John Maxwell, he's an author and he's a conference speaker from America. He says there are three kinds of attitudes. The first attitude is no one can teach me anything. That's an arrogant attitude. The second attitude is someone can teach me everything. In other words, one person can teach me everything. That's a naive attitude. But the next one is everyone can teach me something. And he says that's a teachable attitude. You know, we can learn from the most unlikely people. Isn't that true? Even kids can teach us stuff. Tom Marshall, he writes a book called Understanding Leadership. It's an older book. He says this. It's very good. Honesty compels me to admit that there are times when exactly the wrong person at exactly the wrong time, with exactly the wrong motives, has nevertheless said exactly the right thing. Isn't that true? Let me read it again in case you didn't catch that. Honesty compels me to admit that there are times when exactly the wrong person, at exactly the wrong time, with exactly the wrong motives, has Donnie, we'll call him Johnny, he's a fictional character, sweet granny to teach him something from God. Now, most grannies are sweet. Not all, but most of them are sweet. And so she says, Johnny, you need to do this and this and this. But Johnny doesn't listen. So then the next person God brings along, it's a guy at work. Johnny, you need to do this. And he doesn't listen. So then the person comes along who, with exactly the wrong person at exactly the wrong time, with exactly the wrong motives, and nevertheless says exactly the right thing, and now God's got our attention. And now Johnny's ready to learn. The moral of the story is, for goodness sake, listen to sweet granny. But this is probably, I feel this is exactly what's happened to someone here, some people here today. You've had this scenario break out. And God is wanting to teach us something. And he wants you to learn something. But because you've been hard of hearing, he's had to use some people that haven't always spoken with the right language. We should always be learning. Amen? We should have a passion for learning. And we're going to see why it's so important soon. You know, there's an old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So the thinking of that is that some people, some people, the older they get, the more unteachable they become. Is that right? But it should be the opposite. The older we get, I was under this pastor for 10 years. And he came up with some quotes, and there's three of them I've never forget. The first one he said was this: pride is like bad breath. You're the last one to know you've got it. How do you know you got bad breath? Just ask somebody. How do you know got pride? Just ask somebody if you're courageous enough. The other one he said was, when all is said and done, there's a lot more said than done. Ain't that the fact? Particularly in church life, there's just so much said and spoken and da, 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 but sometimes it's just not a lot of action and implementation. But here's the one that's pertinent to what I'm saying this morning. And this is the quote he said, the older I get, the more I realize the less I know. When I first heard my pastor saying that many years ago, I was in my 20s, I thought, I didn't understand what he was saying. Maybe he'd been drinking something in the morning. I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me. But you know, I found the older I get, the more I realize the less I know. Wow, some of you younger people are going, that doesn't make sense. You just give it a few years. You'll get there. Just recently this happened. I've been preaching now for 35 years. Wow, I started in my 20s. When I was 20. Remember the first sermon I preached was in the Philippines, up in the mountains. Thank goodness there were no videos back in there, cameras to record my message, because I don't think it was that great. And so I've learned some things about speaking and that over the last few years. The older I get, the more I realize, the less I know. But you know, that's a good attitude to have. Because when we have that attitude, we learn. And when we learn, we will be successful. And so, learning results in success in the various areas of our lives. Going back to the story of Moses, there's a spiritual principle there. Moses was humble, and because he was humble, he was teachable. And because he was teachable, he learned. And because he learned, he became successful in an area that he was failing. So if you want to be successful, it starts with humility. Just get really humble, man. Some of you, and you'll be better for it. Because if you're humble, it'll result in you being teachable. And if you're teachable, it will result in learning, which will result in success in the various areas of your life. If you want to be successful in different areas of life, the calling, whatever area it is, it starts with humility, humbleness, teachableness, and then learning and then success. Can you say yes? Can you swallow that pie this morning, that humble pie? Just take it. It's good stuff. All right, number three, keep on shining. As I said before, we are in difficult times, but there are many examples in the Bible of people who shined in one of those preachers that you have to bring a packed lunch, just in case they go a bit long. So, Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, and his brothers came to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. They came to get food, and so Joseph passed by, and when they saw him, they bowed down as you would do, and Joseph recognized his brothers, and the Bible says that he remembered his dream. When he saw that, it's an amazing sort of moment. Like, he just sees his brothers, he recognizes them, they don't recognize him, and he remembers his dream. But what we need to understand is that Joseph's dream at that time was being fulfilled in a difficult time. Did you ever think about that? But this could be the time for our dreams and gifts to shine. This could be the time. Everybody is called to share the gospel with people that don't know Jesus. But if you have an evangelist gifting, this could be the time to shine, because there's a lot of people seeking. If you have a prophetic gifting, which encourages people, this could be the time for you to shine, because there's a lot of people that need encouragement. If you have a healing gift, this could be your time to shine. Particularly since this year we could have some people that are getting sick. They're going to get sick. You know, John Dowie began his healing ministry in a difficult time. Because it was barren, difficult times. But I believe this is our time to shine. This is the time for the church to shine. Another example is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Now, Abednego is actually spelled A-B-E-D-N-E-G-O. Abednego. How many people say Abednego? Not many. I thought it might be one of those Hamner things, you know, where you kind of get it all twisted up. And then I say, instead of saying Shadrach, I say Shadrach. So it must be sort of a Sunday school thing. Anyway, this example of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king of Babylon, and he makes a gold image. It's kind of dumb, really. Leaders do some dumb things sometimes. He makes this big golden image, and he says to everybody, when the music plays, you bow to this image. So it was a difficult time for the Jews. And so Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego wouldn't bow to the image. And so the king threw them into a furnace, fiery furnace. It was so hot that it killed people as they put them in there. But you know, when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego came out of the furnace, their hair wasn't even singed. wasn't even singed. Do you remember as a kid, you know, how you would jump over a bonfire, you know, and your hair would get singed? I mean, these guys have been in a hot furnace, boiling hot furnace, and they come out, and they're, this fire will not destroy you. Because sometimes when you go through a fire, you feel like this thing's going to destroy me. It's going to destroy a particular area of my life. But if you're faithful to God and trust Him, when you go through the fire, it will not destroy you. Though you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt. You shall not be singed. And the church in New Zealand and around the nation is going through the fire. But as long as we're faithful and obedient to Him, it will not destroy us. We will triumph, we will overcome, and we will come out better. Do you believe that? When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego came out of the furnace, they were totally different. Totally different. When you come out of this fire, you are going to be totally different. You're going to have a depth of character. You're going to be freed from some stuff. Some chains are going to broke off you. And you're going to carry a fresh anointing grace of God upon your life. And I believe when the church comes out of this fire, we are going to be totally different. We are going to shine like we've never shined before, and we're going to carry the glory and the power of God like never before. I apologize, but I'm an optimist. Sometimes I get discouraged. Yeah, of course I do. But inside of me, I just have such a faith. God has got this. And we're going to come out of this good. We're going to come out of this furnace and out of this season. And we're going to come. Lastly, example is the Apostle Paul. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. We'll read those scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So part of the reason for this thorn was to keep him humble. "Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my..." He's pleading with God to take the thorn away from him. And then all of a sudden, he changes his praying. He changes his attitude. And he says, "Most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. I take pleasure in my infirmities." Has Paul lost his mind? No. Paul has understood that in difficult times, the power of God would come upon him. We see this with Jesus. He went through testing 40 days. And when he came out the other end, he came out in the power of the Spirit. I have found that when I go through difficult seasons, it can be followed by an increase in the anointing of God over my life. That's what I've found. In 2000, it wasn't breaking any growth records, but we were growing and things were going well. Then in 2010, we had a church split with almost half the congregation going. It was not a great day. In fact, I remember preaching the following Sunday, and the devil said to me, "You see a church, it's over." Well, he was a liar. We kept going. But you know, a month later, the Christchurch earthquakes happened. We just had a church split. It's a big deal. Then a month later, all of Christchurch starts shaking. and keeps on shaking. 6 months later, our auditorium, which we had a great auditorium, seated 300 people, 300 or 400 people, it's a great auditorium. It was damaged beyond repair. And so we had to shift and we had to move to it. Wouldn't surprise me that this season will suddenly come to an end. Wouldn't surprise me that it would stop as quick as it started. Yes, I believe that there will be a time when God says this season is come to an end. And it will be like an old wineskin that burst and gives way to a glorious and mighty move of the Holy Spirit. I noticed some of you woke up and were sleeping. You're awake now. But you know, suddenly, God's got so many suddenlies coming up, things are going to change. Suddenly, the bank balance jumps up. Suddenly, there's a move of God. Suddenly changed. Suddenly God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Maybe the people in the little tent are a little bit more excited. Can I hear you guys in the little tent? Oh, wow. I can't believe it. They're still awake. I thought they'd all be asleep for sure. But you know, 2013, on a Sunday morning, I will, you know, it sounds kind of, yeah, I will never forget the day when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to move in our service and a whole new mantle came upon me. See, during that time when I was talking about the earthquake and the church split, God was developing character in me to handle the increase, because that's the purpose for the difficult times, is to develop character in us to prepare us for an increase of the anointing of God. And so the whole new mantle came on me. And for months, heat would just be over my head and over my shoulders, over my life, over the years. But it came out of a difficult time. Many here in the church around the world are going through a season of difficulty. But when this season is over, many will come into a whole new anointing and the grace of God upon their lives like never before. Well, I thought you'd be excited about that. Anybody, I think what you thought I said was, somebody just killed your cat. But what I didn't said was, that when this is all over, you're going to experience a whole new anointing and power of God over your life, and it's going to change your whole life. Where's Nawa? She's in the prayer room. What's she doing in there? Praying. You know, you've had some difficult times, but get ready when you come through this. Not that you're waiting for that day. You're having fun in this day, but when you get through, you're just going to experience a whole new level of God's presence, anointing over your life. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say yes? Let's stand to our feet, folks. The team could come up, but we don't play straight away, please. Ooh, I've just about broken up in a wee sweat. No, sorry, perspiring. I almost feel like I'm on the tennis court for 6 hours a day. I'm glad I had my wife here to sort of correct me, because some people would just be like, what does he do all day? Hey, you might be here today or you might be online. And you know, the funny thing was I was actually hitting a tennis ball against the wall. And I thought to myself, I was about 14, 15, I'm going to have a break from God. It wasn't one of my most great moments. It's kind of dumb, you know. And anyway, in my late teens, I was in Dunedin, drinking every weekend. Eventually had no job, was suicidal. I remember one time I was drunk and I was driving. Shame, I know, drinking and driving. And I was screeching crazily with my car. And I was actually in a nightclub. one time called Sammy's in Dunedin. And I remember saying to myself, I'd been drinking, I'd been smoking. In the midst of the atmosphere, I said to myself, I'm going to come back to God and I'm going to be a preacher. And so I went to church and to give my life to Jesus. And God, and he says, you feel like you need to give your life to Jesus. And so I did. I went to the back and we prayed. And I remember breaking down in tears. And my life's never been the same. I have a joy. I have a peace. Hey, life absolutely can get difficult just like anybody else. But I have the strength of God to carry me through that. And I know that when I die and go to the sky, I'm going to live forever. You know, that's one of the revelations I got when I gave my life back to Jesus. It was, I'm going to live forever. We are in heaven. We are eternal beings. Though our body may die, our soul, our spirit is going to live forever. We are actually going to live forever. There's a little bump in between, called death. But when we get through that, boom! Eternity waits on the other side. I thought you might be more excited about that. What about the people in the small tent? Ho-ho! I should be preaching in there. I think I should have got my pulpit and taken it through there. No, I'm just kidding, of course. So anyway, I gave my life to Jesus. Now, the Bible says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe there is at least one person listening to me that either needs to come back to Jesus or they need to give their life to Jesus to become a Christian, to follow him. And I want to give an opportunity for that this morning. And so is there anybody here today who wants to give their life to Jesus? You give your life to Jesus. I can guarantee you this. Life will not be always rosy. It's sometimes harder as a Christian, but your peace which you haven't before. Is there anybody here today who wants to, let me start with this auditorium here. Is there anybody here that wants to give their life to Jesus? You want to become a Christian? Just raise your hand if there's anybody like that. Or you want to come back to God. The Spirit of God in these days, and even in the season of great difficulty, is going to begin to call people back to him. This is the time of the prodigal son returning to him. This is the time. I believe we're going to begin to see an influx. I had a word 6 months before I'm trying to avoid the word. So in March 2020, the whole thing broke out. 6 months before that, I declared that New Zealand was going to be shaken like never before. It was going to be like a insect put on its back, wiggling away. And the church was going to be the same. But in that time, even the backsliders will begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And the Christians will begin to call upon the Lord. And there shall come a cry in these days in the church around this nation and around this world. And it shall be the beginning of the birth pangs and the birthing of a mighty move of the Spirit of God. For when the people begin to rise up and begin to look to heaven and begin to call upon him and realize we are not able, but God, you are able. Then God will look down and suddenly move across the nation and move across the world, and multitudes shall be saved and brought into the kingdom of God. And today you could be one of those people. Now, is there anybody here who wants to give their life to Jesus or come back to Jesus? Lift up your hand right now. What I'm going to do now, is that a lifted hand? Awesome. Come up here. Come on. Let's give him a clap as he does. Yes, you're absolutely right. You know, when I was 7 years old, my mother led me to the Lord. And she also got me filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Sometimes people we discount when a child gives their heart to the Lord. No. For many of us, that's where it starts. This is the beginning. This young fellow's going to grow up to be a man. This is where it starts. And as we pray this prayer, maybe online or in the different groups or in the little tent, or maybe online you're watching, you want to come back to Jesus, or you want to give your life to Jesus, you come with this prayer. You repeat this prayer that I'm going to pray. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and you guys all repeat it with me, okay? So this is for you to pray, Joshua. When you pray and you give your life to Jesus and follow him, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you're dead. So just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I give my life to you, Jesus. I turn from doing things my way. I turn from my sins to follow you. I thank you that you died on the cross, that you gave your life to me. And because of your blood, all my sins have been washed away. I'm a new creation in Christ. Father, I pray as Joshua and maybe others online pray this prayer. Now let them be filled with Jesus' presence. And I pray, Lord, that even for you, we haven't got time to go in this, but your mother can talk to you about this. But I pray for even you, Joshua, that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Changes, 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 changes are coming. Oh, changes are coming. There's a wind that's going to blow. There's a wind that's going to blow in this nation. There's a wind that's going to blow around the earth. And already it has begun. And God will begin to change the seasons, change the seasons, change the times. For I believe some have said, this will be for a long time. But I sense in my heart, this will not be for a long time. And the day will come where suddenly God will break through. But in the meantime, while we are waiting for that to happen, do not be complacent, but enjoy the moment. Be content and thrive in this time, for there is still much we can do. Don't think I have to wait to another season to do such and such. You can thrive. That is what the gospel is about, shining in the darkness. I'm done. God bless you. We're going to finish off with a song this morning, and have a great lunch and have a great day. God bless.